Take my glasses off so I can see you. Get you in focus. Last week, Jeff reminded us that he has to talk more loudly so I can hear him. Well, Jeff just talked to the Lord, and in his conversation, he made a mistake. He made a mistake because it's a part of a habit. And right now his mind is going X number of miles per hour trying to figure out what it was. Do you know what it is?
The Lord knows this heart, not only the words that come out of the mouth. So I think I'm safe.
Don't wave me away, Jeff. But I'm going to point this out not to embarrass Jeff, but for each one of us. I'm supposed to be the teacher tonight. But when he closed his conversation with the Lord, correct me if I'm wrong, he said, in Jesus' name. Now that isn't going to send anybody to hell. But as witnesses of the gospel and communicating with family members and in talking with the Lord, we should strive to use the best English possible. I count it a privilege tonight to share with you. And usually, when I come down to the chapel, I'm confronted with, in my mind, just what can I share to encourage the Blaisdell Gospel Chapel people to put into practice what they have learned all these years as students of the Word. Let me ask you this rhetorical question. The answer is between you and the Lord. When is the last time that you've received a telephone call from a Christian brother or sister exuberantly engaging in informing you that he or she had just led a person to the Lord? See, we Christians, notice I said we Christians, get so involved in the study of the Word and get all the meat and the milk and the honey to make us strong in the Lord. But we get so much of this that we can't move or fail to move. This evening I'd like to share with you, you may turn, how many textbooks do we have here tonight? Put them up, because I can't send you to your locker. Okay, very good. Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 16. Beginning at verse 13. We'll come back to that. Just keep it ready. Now, controversy may be and can be healthy. Now, in the portion to which I'm going to call your attention, there's great misunderstanding among believers and among unbelievers, among denominations, and other non-Christian religions. So my question that we're going to work at this evening, who is your Jesus? My Jesus lets me do this. I can go to the dance floor. My Jesus permits me to smoke even. My Jesus doesn't care what kind of language I use. See? Everyone has his own Jesus. In his mind. 2-year-old granddaughter likes to have grandma come to visit. The first thing the granddaughter does when grandma visits or somewhere along the line, she runs into her room or the play box and brings her Jesus books to grandma. And she wants grandma to read to her from the Jesus books. Stories from the Old Testament in children's language. One day, granddaughter was visiting at grandmother's house. It was cold outside. This is a true story, by the way. And grandma asked the granddaughter to put on her slipper socks because she was running around and walking around and just stocking feet. And granddaughter said, no. Grandma told her again, no. Absolutely refuse. Carefully, grandma said, do you want me to tell Jesus? Her eyes almost popped out of her head and signaled with her eyes, no, didn't say anything. Got her slipper socks and put them on. Young minds absorb and grasp more readily than we think. And each of us, regardless of our age group, are imitators. And Paul, the apostle, calls this out, our attention to this. And we are to be imitators of Christ. In a periodical monthly that I get, reads as follows, very brief. Circulars were passed out to some youth in the Florida church. The writer says that he has a copy before him, inviting young people to come to hear, quote, music that is really hot, end of quote. Reaching youth with the music they, that is the pagans, are accustomed to, from hard-hitting lyrics of pop rock, hip-hop, and traditional jazz, taking Christian music to a new level. This band promised to hook the young people with hot music, acrobatic dance moves, best gospel dance competition, and the band's onstage antics. And you will not leave without an opportunity to respond to Jesus. I'm glad I'm not required to do this tonight. I don't know whether I could hip hop. The invitation didn't say what kind of Jesus, but certainly not the Christ of the Bible. This sickening fiasco would never have been remotely considered by believers and other Christians a few decades ago. In your lifetime and mine. There's a church in Hamburg. I don't know whether an end is going to be put to the practice. But styrofoam cups of hot coffee and cookies make their way into the auditorium for the morning worship hour. I'm not kidding you. And on the altar rail, styrofoam cups. And people have changed the place of worship into a coffee house. Water bottles, not the kind you heat up for your aching back, but those from which you drink. Athletic beverages and so forth, making their way into the morning worship hour. Who, I ask myself, is my Jesus? Could we say the drinks are on the house? Four college kids down south were holding in one of the rooms off campus a Bible study one night a week. They received a piece of mail, and in the envelope was a citation, and they were required to appear in court and notified they had not ascribed to the rules and regulations of the community in which they were living. It was necessary for them to have and produce and display a permit. What do you think our reaction response would be this evening if suddenly the door of the entryway would open? And someone would enter with a huge cardboard box. And starting at the front, give me your Bibles. Place all your Bibles in this box. And clean house. We don't have a permit for Bible study. Unthinkable? Not on your life. If I remember correctly, and some of you brains out there can square me away on this from your studies of the Bible. In the four gospel narratives, being Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four stories of the New Testament of the life and times of Jesus Christ. The first one written by Matthew presents Jesus Christ, the one whom I serve and whose family to which I belong, sets forth Jesus Christ as King. Mark portrays Jesus Christ as servant. Luke presents Jesus Christ as man, or the God-man, or the man-God. While John paints a verbal word picture of Jesus Christ as God, the Son of God, his deity. Is that correct? Shake your head a little louder. I couldn't hear you. No, I don't mean that. All right, now. Beginning at verse 13 of chapter 16. And someone here may want to, so I'm tipping you off in advance. I have five words, or five terms, I'm going to give you. And the key verse for each of these terms. And each of these terms conclude with the suffix T-I-O-N. Shun. T-I-O-N. You may want them for further study or to pass on to someone else. When we come to it, I will let you know. Let's begin at verse 13, Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And these disciples had been with our Lord a good period of time, and you say, what a foolish question. Who are you? Who do men say that you are, or I am? We know this man to be the I Am of the Old Testament. Verse 14. And they said, some say, no name. A lot of this goes on today, doesn't it? They said, or they say, someone said, thou art John the Baptist? Some say that you are Elias. I'm putting some words in here. And others say that you are Jeremias, or Jeremiah. And others say that you're one of the prophets. That's what religion says. One of the prophets. He was a prophet. He was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And this is the first of the five words. Interrogation. Meaning, question. Interrogation. I don't think I have to spell that for you. You have to read your own writing anyway. All right, interrogation. Who am I? It comes right down to the nitty-gritty individual relationship. I don't care what other people are saying, but who am I? I'd like to hear your answer. I recall in a Bible study class in Hamburg a number of years ago, the close of the class, I made an assignment, an adult Bible class. Between Sunday morning of that particular day till the following Sunday morning to repeat, to give the experience. And I challenged them to go out. They could ask anyone in church, out of church, at work, at home, wherever they wanted. Ask the question, who is Jesus? Try it sometime. You know the phrase, try it, you like it? Try it sometime. Who is Jesus? And some, of course, there are always some individuals who won't participate or fail to participate, but they came back, and one person replied, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and my personal Savior. There is no possible way to have an answer more complete than that. But just like the kids that we were years ago, we don't like assignments. They get in our way. All right, let's read on until we get to the next verse here. Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here we have the declaration. We have first the interrogation, then the declaration. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Deity expressed, and recognized. All right, read on. In verse 17, And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And, verse 18, I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Number three, is the identification. Identification. Thou art Peter. Now, Peter is not the rock. He is the stone. Because early on, as the Holy Spirit dealt with and witnessed to Peter, Jesus said, Peter, your name is no longer going to be Peter. From henceforth, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now those of the Roman Catholic persuasion, by footnote in the Douay version of the scriptures, indicate as Peter as a rock, not the stone. But Christ himself is the rock. He's also regarded as the stone which the builders rejected. Thou art Peter. All right, let's read on. And I will give unto thee, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And stop there, so we don't get choked on too much at once. Here we have the fourth shun word, authorization. Authorization, which lends to it the authority to give forth the word of truth by preaching and teaching. The keys. If I reach into my jacket pocket and I find the keys, the location of the keys and the possession of the keys permits me to unlock the door and get in the van. They give me the authority to get in the van. And you and I have placed in our hands the Word of God with which they become keys throughout the book that gives to us the authority to preach and teach the gospel. Now, we get mixed up with the last shun word, Number 5, also in verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Many, many, many trip over this verse. And it wasn't always plain to me. I believe that I have an understanding of it. My obligation is to share it with you, even though probably everyone here knew it before this evening. Number 5, the word is obligation. Obligation. With the presentation of the word given to each of us, we have a divine obligation to give forth the gospel. Now, what about this binding and loosing? Very simple. I have 4 minutes left. Think I'll make it. When I witness to someone, when you witness to someone, and we use the authority, the word of God, the gospel, the person hears, the person understands, the person makes a decision, the person gets saved. He's loosed from the shackles of sin. He's loosed here immediately on earth. And in that day when the Lord takes him home, he's loosed in heaven. He does not stand before the great white throne judgment, but rather as a believer before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, on the other hand, if that gentleman to whom my friend who called me on the phone said to my friend who was witnessing to him, I don't want any part of what you're saying to me. He would be denying it when the gospel was presented to him. And he continued to remain bound by the shackles of sin. Bound on earth, bound in heaven. Loosed on earth, loosed in heaven. Oh, Brother Ted, you make it sound so simple. Well, I have to keep it simple for me in order to share it with you. Printed page, preaching, teaching, personal testimony, what have you. Our responsibility to the Lord in the presentation of the gospel. Verse 20 is another study, so we're stopping at 19. But if you haven't seen it and you still have a copy of today's Buffalo News at home, the editorial page, get a copy. Look up what was written by Cal Thomas, a born-again believer, who writes on Falwell's Second Coming. Beautifully, beautifully stated. Now, in closing, this verse, 2 minutes. I say, Ted, you're too time conscious. I know, but if I want to get back up here again, I have to be time conscious. Here's the verse. I thought you were my friend. Did you ever say that? I have. I thought you were my friend. My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. While on this earth, I walked with you day by day and you never did point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you ever tell the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we lived together here on earth, you never told me of your second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called your friend and trusted you, but I learn now that it's just too late. You could have kept me from this fate. We walked by day and talked by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live, love, and die. And all the while you knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you my friend in life, and I trusted you in joy and strife, and yet, in coming to this end, I see you really weren't my friend. Heavenly Father, dismiss us with your blessing. Thank you for the time of fellowship and friendship tonight, for the open book, the printed page, the authority of your word, and especially this Easter season. Help us to be forthright and be a living testimony because of him who lives and is coming again. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I made it. Look at the clock.